41, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is Diabetes Awareness Month, and we're talking about it as part of our Medical Monday conversation. My guests are Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, Director of the Diabetes Treatment Center at Howard University Hospital, and Maya Fisher. She's a patient of Dr. Bland. She's also a type 1 diabetic, and my daughter. Lines are open. Give us a call. We're still talking about this and taking your phone calls at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before the break, Dr. Bland, we were talking to Jeanette. She was talking about steroid-induced diabetes. She says that her situation was not reversed. As you said, that can sometimes happen. Some thoughts from what she was just saying.
Yes. Sometimes it does not reverse. And you may have been predisposed to diabetes even before you started the steroids. Not everyone develops steroid-induced diabetes, but some do. And, you know, we just really do not know who is going to be able to not need any medications after they're off of their steroids.
Well, Jeanette, certainly we wish you all the best health, and thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. Let me go back to the line. Let's talk to Carl. Carl calling from Fredericksburg. What's on your mind?
Yes. Good evening, Harold.
Hey, how are
Hello, doctor. Hello. I have a question. About 5 weeks ago, I took a blood fasting blood test, and my glucose was 102, when my A1C was 6.5. The doctor tells me I have diabetes, and previously I had pre-diabetes for many years, and I finally, at 6.5, he says I have A1C of 6.5, he says I have diabetes, and he says if it goes up like to 6.7, 6.8, he's going to put me on a medication called metformin. But I read that even at pre-diabetes, is good to treat it aggressively, to start medication early, so it prevents complications down the road. Hmm. And I just wanted to know what the doctor would think, because I was thinking about going back to the doctor and saying, give me the metformin now. But I did hear it had some side effects.
Hmm. Well, let me first, Carl, talk about A1C. What is A1C?
A1C is a blood test that we use to assess, one, how well your diabetes is controlled. It gives us an average of what your blood sugar has been over the past 3 months. He mentioned that 6.5, his hemoglobin A1C, and that is another test that we use to make the diagnosis of diabetes, in addition to a fasting blood glucose or a two-hour blood glucose. So when you are 6.5 and higher, then we do make the diagnosis of diabetes. His question regarding using metformin, which is a medication that we use for type 2 diabetes, should it be started now? And it can be. And some individuals are starting metformin even when you're in the pre-diabetes state. And I think that's a discussion that you would have with your physician regarding, you know, taking the medication. But we also emphasize lifestyle as well. Studies have shown that if you exercise 150 minutes a week, which is about 30 minutes, 5 days a week, cut back on your calories, about 700 calories a day, that you can significantly reduce your pre-diabetes from going on to full-blown diabetes.
Okay. Carl, thank you so much for your phone call. We spoke earlier about what happens when your blood sugar level gets too low, but what about when it gets too high? What is that called, and what are the dangers of that?
Well, we give it a term of hyperglycemia when your blood glucose goes too high. Now, for type 1 diabetes, we get very concerned if your blood glucose is over 250 because we're worried about that you may have ketones. And ketones are very dangerous for type 1 diabetes because that indicates that your body is not getting enough insulin. So we've asked individuals with type 1 diabetes to check their urine for ketones because you can go into a dangerous situation, a diabetic ketoacidosis, where acid builds up in your blood and if not treated can result in death. For hyperglycemia in itself without ketoacidosis, anytime your blood sugar is above 700, you are significantly dehydrated and you really need to be admitted to the hospital because you can also die from that as well, which means that you're going to a coma, your kidneys can shut down, and as a result of that, you can actually die. So you really don't want too high blood sugars or too low blood sugars.
So Maya, you also have had, you know, some bouts with some high numbers, as it were. So what do you do when your numbers get, you know, too high? And this is, I think this is particularly important because I think our listeners are beginning to understand, and Maya, she's 18, that managing your diabetes, no matter what form of diabetes you have, type 1 or type 2, it requires focus, doesn't it?
It takes a lot of work. So basically for me, if I go into high blood sugars and it's continuous and it hasn't gone down for a couple of hours, I do a correction bolus, giving myself the amount of insulin by putting in my numbers into my pump, and it gives me that insulin from my pump. So I'm able to, I have to wait a little bit for it to settle down in order for me to get lower blood sugars. So that's the basics of what happens when
so now tell me a little bit more about the pump, because I was talking to one of my coworkers today. We were talking about, you know, this program, and she wasn't really familiar. So how does it work? I mean, you have the pump, but how does the insulin get, you know, to you? Talk to me about the sights and the needle and all of that.
So basically what I have a 90-degree sight. So that I change every 2 to 3 days. If you don't change it every 2 to 3 days, it can cause kind of lumping, which causes by the insulin forming under your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Also. And for my sight that I have to change every 2 to 3 days, my pump will also remind me, since it's a new pump, it'll also remind me.
So it's electronic.
To change it. Yes.
It's electronic. But talk to me about the sight. How does that work?
The sight is basically, it comes in like a little round form and then that has a needle inside. But the moment that you press it against your skin, you could put it on your arm, your abdomen, your legs, even on your backside.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically have to change it every 2 to 3 days. And the moment that you put it inside, it'll automatically take the needle out.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to make sure and be able to monitor it in that way, because if you don't, then the insulin will not be able to come through properly if you don't change it.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Ross, calling from Northwest. Thanks for calling, Ross. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello, Harold. Hello, doctor.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Yes, I recently had my annual exam and found out that my blood sugars was not where they should be, and I could be a potential pre-diabetic. And I know from my own family history that there's not a strong diabetic in my family. I have cousins that are, too, and I have worked for many years in a very stressful job. And I do have to admit my diet and exercise have fallen off. My question is basically, being so new to this, and we're talking like the last week, I pretty much didn't eat anything during Thanksgiving because I didn't know really what I could eat. So I'm just learning, and I want to know what can I eat, what's my calories, what sugars, that sort of thing. So I'm kind of like coming to this blind, so to speak.
Okay. Well, you know, a simple way of handling your diet, even if you're pre-diabetic or even have diabetes, we term it the plate method. And half of your plate should be vegetables. And we're talking about green leafy vegetables. And then you divide the other half in half and you put your starch and then you have your meat. So we emphasize eating lots of vegetables. Fruit is good, but you have to worry about that. It does have sugar, so no more than 2 servings of fruit a day. But if you use the plate method, that's an easy way to eat a good diet for diabetes or even pre-diabetes.
Okay.
Real quick, can you answer me, what's the good alternative for breakfast? Because I'm kind of the bacon and egg, cold cereal kind of breakfast guy. So is there anything that I should be substituting for, like, the breakfast or the lunch menu outside of just maybe salads?
Well, you know, for breakfast, yogurts, and you would look for a low-carb yogurt. The Greek yogurt is good. You can Have some fresh fruit on there. You can have some nuts on there. That would be a good breakfast on the run. You know, you can also still eat your bacon and eggs, although I would limit that to no more than twice a week. I would limit the cold cereal because that can raise your blood sugar quite a bit. Oatmeal is a better choice if you're going to eat cereal. So those are the kinds of things that I would, you know, make some changes. And it would probably be a good idea. You can meet with a nutritionist and they can work out a diet that you can live with so that you can eat healthy and work towards your goal in prevention of diabetes.
Okay. Ross, okay. Thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Stephanie, calling from Maryland. What's on your mind, Stephanie?
Hi, good evening, hey. Ross and Dr. Evett. Just two quick questions. Doctor, okay, you guys talked about when the blood sugar is too high for a type 1 diabetic. I'm a type 2 diabetic for the past 8 years. And what can I do to get when my blood sugar is really high? How can I get it down quickly? Is there a way to get it down? Like today, unfortunately, it was 340. What can I do to get it down quickly?
Okay, well, are you on insulin or are you on pills?
I am, and that goes into my second question.
Which one, pills or insulin?
I'm on insulin. Okay. I'm injectable insulin, and it's Lantus. It's long-term acting. But can your body get adjusted to the insulin where you keep having to increase? Because that's my other question. I have to keep increasing my insulin, but my activity still is basically the same. But is there a way to get that blood sugar down quickly?
Well, you know, there's another type of insulin, and you may want to talk to your doctor about that. It's a fast-acting insulin, and that one works faster in bringing your blood sugar down. You're telling me that you're on Lantus, which
yes.
is that long-acting insulin, and it doesn't work as well in terms of rapidly bringing your blood sugar down. So talk to your doctor about a rapid-acting insulin. You know, the names are Novolog, Humalog, Apidra. Those are all fast-acting insulins that you may be able to have if your blood sugar goes up too high. You may be able to give that to help bring it down.
Okay, so I just need to ask for a fast-acting insulin.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay,
now, Stephanie? Can the body get adjusted to insulin and kind of decrease helping? Because I know the insulin's just supposed to help a type 2 diabetic, but when you have to keep increasing, can the body adjust to the insulin that you're injecting?
Well, you know, sometimes we have to add different kinds of medications. If, you know, we're finding that we're having to increase your insulin to large amounts, that maybe a different type of insulin, different types of medications may be used to help bring those blood sugars down. So I would, you know, discuss this with your physician and, you know, explore the other possibilities to help to control your blood sugars.
Stephanie, thank you so much for your phone call. Before I go to a break, I do want to ask about something that we hear so much about. Talk to me about why is it that some people with diabetes lose some of their extremities, toes, feet, and the like. What is that from?
Unfortunately, it really doesn't have to happen. But when you start losing your toes or your eyesight or on dialysis, that means that your diabetes has been out of control for too long. Sometimes it takes as little as 5 years, but on average, 15, 20 years of uncontrolled diabetes. In this day and age, we really shouldn't be seeing that if you're controlling your diabetes. That's why it's so important to have your A1C checked, which I talked about earlier, which gives us an idea how well your diabetes is controlled. And we really like for your A1C, if you have type 2 diabetes, to be less than 7 or 6.5. When it's at that level, you have very little chance of developing those complications associated with uncontrolled diabetes.
Okay. I need to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk to June and Laurel, Nikki in Germantown, and Cliff in Silver Spring. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about diabetes. We'll be back in just a moment. SiriusXM Channel 141. This is Harold Fisher. We're talking about diabetes, diagnosing it and treating it. Back to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Nikki calling from Germantown. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi. Good evening to the both of you. I'm not certain if this question has already been answered, but I had some blood work done several months ago, and my physician informed me that my A1C was at 6.5, which she said pretty much is a diagnosis of diabetes, type 2 diabetes. She did not start me on any medication. However, she said that she would give me a chance to try and get my numbers under control with diet and exercise. My question is, should I have been put on medication, or are we following a, you know, correct course of allowing me to try and get the numbers under control of changing my lifestyle?
That is a decision that generally the patients and physicians can make. It is perfectly okay to give a 3-month trial of diet and exercise to see if you can get your A1C down and your blood sugars down. Some patients really would like to try that first before going on medication. So you don't absolutely have to start on medication if your A1C is 6.5. So, you know, it is really a personal decision, and talking with your doctor is one that you can make together.
Okay.
And you just mentioned, you said 3 months. So generally, if it takes longer than 3 months to see those numbers come down, is that usually when I probably need to then?
Yes, you would need to make a decision about starting medication. Yes.
Okay. Nikki, thank you so much for your phone call. Let's go to June calling from Laurel. June, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'm just calling to ask Dr. Blanner, whoever, good evening to you all.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know the reason why I had come on type 2 diabetic. But how can I get rid of leg cramps all in my fingers? It wakes me up at night. And I noticed that my doctor don't have the answer. But I want to know, do anybody know why you have leg cramping all over your body due to diabetes?
Well, that is a fairly common problem that many patients complain about, the leg cramps. And, you know, I'm sure the doctor will evaluate to make sure that your body chemistry is okay. You know, you don't have a low potassium or your calcium is too low. Magnesium, these are all things that would need to be checked to make sure that's not contributing to your leg cramps. Another thing that can be tried is making sure that you're well hydrated. I don't know if you're on blood pressure medication, fluid pills.
I am.
Yes. So those are things that would need to be checked, particularly your electrolytes. Those are your blood chemistries that need to be corrected if you're having frequent leg cramps.
Okay. So there's really nothing that I can do to avoid the leg cramp due to diabetes.
Well, just making sure that you're well hydrated, you know, drinking plenty of fluids is one thing. But talk to your doctor just to make sure that blood tests have been done to look for other causes.
Okay. June, thank you so much.
Can I ask you one more question?
June, I've got a lot of folks on the line, unfortunately,
okay.
And I need
thank
to get.
You so much.
But thank you so much, and certainly good luck and good health to you. Real quick, talk to me about what diabetic nerve pain is. We've seen advertisements on TV about it. What is that?
And diabetic nerve pain is really, when your blood sugars are high, they can really irritate your nerves. And
it'll get on your nerves,
yes,
if your blood sugars.
Yes.
I would imagine so.
And then sometimes it can, if it's been prolonged elevations of blood sugar, it can actually cause the damage to your nerves. And that's that diabetic neuropathy, which, you know, you see on commercials to take medications to relieve the pain. It actually can be prevented if you control your diabetes. So I really try to emphasize how important it is to control your diabetes so you don't have diabetic nerve pain.
Okay. Cliff, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling. Cliff, what's on your mind?
Yes. I'm a diabetic. I'm 72 years old. Some years ago, I was watching a 60-minute program, and what they did, the doctors, one doctor, said something about he cut the lower intestines, and these people, you know, were cured almost overnight. And I never heard a follow-up on that. And I'd like the doctor to explain maybe the wherever action is a reaction. And all I know is the people got rid of the diabetes, and they did some operation on the lower intestines.
You're probably talking about the bariatric surgery. That's that weight loss surgery. And there,
Cliff, turn your radio down, please. Okay, go right ahead, doctor.
Yes, and that's bariatric surgery. And we do know that if you are extremely overweight and you get this particular surgery, it can help your diabetes disappear. So that's probably what they were talking about. That particular surgery is generally reserved for the very, very overweight individuals who have diabetes.
Mm-hmm. And what about the, and Cliff, thank you so much for your phone call. What about other claims of cures or any breakthroughs as well, Dr. Bland, that we've been hearing about in news reports?
Well, we are learning about the artificial pancreas, and these are where you use the continuous glucose monitoring as well as the insulin pump that Maya has talked about. And these are smart pancreas, so under like our smartphones. They sense your blood sugar, they send the message to your pump, and your pump will deliver the amount of insulin, and it is regulated that way. So these are the smart pancreas, and that takes away some of the burden of always having to check your blood sugar, you know, putting in your carbs and so forth. So it almost acts like your own body's pancreas.
Mm-hmm. Maya, when you check your blood sugar, how is that done and how often do you do it?
I check my blood sugar every 2 hours. So it's about 6 to 7 times a day. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot, but it helps me, it helps the doctors more monitor my blood sugars and make sure that I'm constantly on track. Because again, my insulin pump is constantly giving me insulin throughout the day.
So how do you do it?
So I take my meter and I take my Lansing device and I prick my fingers. I prick my index finger, middle finger, any finger. Mm-hmm. And it usually gives me my blood sugar and how high or how low I am. But I used to have an old pump that used to be connected to my meter, and it was called a remote in order to communicate to say to give me a certain amount of insulin.
Mm-hmm. Is there any way, doctor, that patients like Maya or others will get to a point where they don't have to check their blood sugar? That, you know, that the pricking of the fingers, I mean, you only have 10 of them, you know?
Yes, you know, actually these sensors have been approved that you no longer have to check your blood sugar anymore.
I heard of that one too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that is a great advancement in terms of diabetes management, that you can actually look at your blood sugar on your iPhone. And I think that is revolutionary in terms of helping individuals with diabetes not be burdened by that frequent check of blood sugars. And so that technology is here. And actually those sensors will be available the early part of 2017.
Okay. Guess we're going to have to look into that, right, sweetie?
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's why we have good insurance and Daddy's got a good job right here at Howard University. You know, thank God for the insurance that we have here. Let us just put that out there. Let me go to Andy. Andy, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My mother are one of those people. She has her diabetes is uncontrolled. It's always in the high 2s and 3s. And what happens is she has severe blockage of the arteries in her lower leg. And the cardiac doctor goes in and tries to open some of these arteries to get rid of the clog. So I wanted to hear what the doctor's opinion was about that.
Well, you know, individuals with diabetes, particularly type 2 diabetes, are at risk for blockage of their arteries. And what the cardiologist is doing is opening up that artery so that blood flow can get down to her legs. If it doesn't get down there, then you're at risk for amputations. So that is common with type 2 diabetes. And that's why it's also important to control your cholesterol as well as your blood pressure with type 2 diabetes.
Okay. Andy, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. I want to talk a little bit more about prevention and addressing these issues, particularly as it relates to type 2 diabetes. We often hear when we talk about health disparities and the like, diabetes also always comes up in conjunction with, you know, heart disease and other kinds of issues. So what is the best way for people, particularly in the Black community, to really buckle down and address diabetes, particularly type 2?
And that's an important question. It is so important to eat a healthy diet. I can't emphasize that enough in terms of eating vegetables, limiting the amount of starches that we eat, limiting the fast foods, the carryouts that we eat, and eating too much where we've gained weight. And we've learned that if we control our diet, we can significantly reduce our chances of developing diabetes. And then exercise. It is shown that if you exercise 30 minutes a day, and you don't have to run a marathon, it can just be simple walking, 5 days a week, 150 minutes, can significantly reduce your chances of developing diabetes. So it is so important that we implement this in our community and emphasize this, that is not inevitable that you will develop diabetes. I think sometimes we think that, oh, well, my mother, my grandmother, I'm going to get it, and there's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. But you can.
Well, I want to thank both of you, Dr. Gail Nunley Bland, and, of course, Maya Fisher. Good to see you, sweet.
Nice to see you too, Dad.
Mm-hmm. How are those grades coming?
They're coming really well. I'm good. Studying for finals.
I know. That's right. Howard freshman. Yes, praise the Lord. Yeah. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Monday, November 28th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can reach me on Facebook at Harold Fisher, WHUR, on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or at Daily Drum, WHUR. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.